Live in Southern California, I am Jim Rome at the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Welcome back. We go to our third hour, which is open. We've done three interviews already. We had Noah Syndergaard on for the first time, the Mets opening day starter. We had Porter Moser on yet again, head basketball coach at Loyola Chicago. We had Bill Self back on. So two of the final four. We talked about the Rams getting Ndamukong Suh. Ndamukong Suh leaving money on the table to come to L.A. L.A. is a destination. A lot of you love it, but for a different reason than I do. A lot of you think that there's no way that doesn't end badly, that it's going to blow up in their face for sure, that you bring in that many guys with questionable character, allegedly, probably, maybe, that you stick enough of those guys in the same locker room, put enough of those guys on the field at the same time, how can that not blow up in their face? Fair point. I mean, it might. It very well could. I can't sit here and say I know for a fact this is going to be fine. It may blow up in their face. It may come back and bite them in the back. What I'm betting on is this, that these guys want to win. These guys still have ability. They still make plays. And I'm betting on Sean McVay as a guy that can hold it all together. That Sean McVay is a guy who's got this. Son of bum, Wade Phillips. Is a guy that defensive players want to play for, especially Ndamukong Suh. Playing in that scheme, playing alongside Aaron Donald, this guy's not going to have to worry about getting double-teamed the entire game anymore. He's going to make plays. It's just a better spot for him. I'm banking on Suh, and Sue's done some pretty regrettable things. Suh has been part of some pretty dirty plays. He's done some pretty dirty things. I'm banking on Suh understanding what this opportunity is and staying down. Staying in his shoes. Tlaib, I don't worry about at all. Tlaib also has made some mistakes, but this guy's been in the game a long, long time. Takes his craft seriously. Prepares meticulously. This is a very well thought of veteran. I think a lot of the things that are said about Tlaib are based on what he did years back. Marcus Peters was making mistakes that hurt himself and his team last year. So the jury's out on him. I'm just saying, when you look at the upside and you look at their playmaking ability and you look at the Rams' ability to get after the quarterback and you look at the guys on the back end and their ability to ball hawk, they're worth the risk. Just like Odell Beckham Jr. is worth the risk. To me, if I'm the Rams, the bigger question is not, is this guy worth the risk? The question is, what's it going to take to get him? The question is, are the Giants really, in fact, shopping him? I think they would. I think if the offer's right, they would move him. But the offer's got to be right. And I've got a whole thread of Tyler in Seattle sucks tweets. Hard to argue that point, Tyler. And even if I don't want to throw a blanket over you like, hey, man, you suck, I can say this, that call did. Papa Meigs, one, tweets, hey, Tyler in Seattle, brah, your call made my ears bleed. Sam Weezy 25 tweets, I vote Tyler, a worst call of the year to date. Chris DeForest tweets, was Tyler really talking about the Chargers? Are they still in the NFL? Lay down the crack pipe, son, and let the big boys talk sports. No, they are. They're in the NFL. They're in this town. They're competitive. They're on the right track. That's not my issue. My issue as you caller is that you call up and you tell Hawk what you want to talk about, and then you get on the air and you forget the plan altogether. It comes off the rails altogether. And then you're just kind of freestyling out there. Like, Chargers rule, and yeah, the Rams are clowns, and hey, yeah, Rome, you had a horse, and that horse kicked a guy in the face. That was your plan? That was your call? Hey, Hawk, you got to own part of that. Go ahead. Go ahead, Hawk. Join me for the show. You made it to hour number three without any kind of verbal admonishments from me. We heard what that guy said on the air. What did that guy tell you he wanted to talk about?
Just that none of the personalities on the Rams are going to work because it's a bunch of troublemakers with bad reputations, and you can't throw a bunch of those guys in the same locker room and have it work in year one, and it sounded like a coherent take. And then, like you said, he got on, he panicked, he forgot what he wanted to do, and then he had one of the weirdest unplanned endings in the world and made me look bad, which sucks because this dude's from Seattle and I'm from Seattle, and he made us all look bad right there.
You know, you don't need his help to make you look bad, but you're right. He did make you look bad because you let him through. hey, man, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face, but nobody got punched in the face. The only thing that happened to that guy was he heard that, which means you're on the air, and then it all went to hell.
Yeah, and it was a bit of a wait for him, and I checked in with him.
No, it wasn't. It was 2 hours. That's a long wait.
Yeah, and I checked in numerous times, said, you ready to go? You ready to go? Pumped him up a little bit, and then he just fell flat on his face and made me look like an idiot.
So if you had to guess, what do you think happened?
I think that he thought he knew what he wanted to do, and as soon as he heard that you were going to him on the air and he knew he was talking to 200 radio stations, Sirius and a simulcast, he freaked out.
So what's your first thought? When something like that happens, is your first thought, man, that's bad for the show, I don't like that? Or is your first thought, great, this is going to come down on me, and then I'm going to have to get on the air in front of those 200 stations and go on TV, and Rome's going to ask me a bunch of stuff that I don't want to deal with or address?
Yeah, the latter.
Yeah, I thought.
I honestly feel like I let you down every time a bad call.
Oh, you do. You did. You do. I mean, I would tell you not to take it personally, but you should.
And I do.
And you should. And well, you should. And once again, thanks for nothing.
You bet. Thank you.
You know, keep it up, Hawk. Keep it up.
Will do.
Now, I know that's the problem. I know you will. Anyway, I'm having fun at Hawk's expense. It's really not his fault. I mean, the way he set that up, if I were screening the calls and a caller said to me, this is what I want to tell the host, I probably would have let that guy through. Not right away, but maybe after 2 hours, if I had a small window of opportunity. Except say what you think. No, say what you tell the call screener / EP that you're going to say when you get on the air. If there's a chance that you might panic and your brain might just go blank and then you don't know what's going to come out of your mouth, don't call. Because we really don't know that until you get there. See, Tyler, now we know about you. We know you're that guy. That guy that when you get on the air, who knows what the hell is going to come flying out of your pie hole. Now you're that guy, Tyler. We all know. It's not Hawk. It's not me. It's not Lil Alvy. We all know. 1-800-636-8686. Something else I want to hit on before the end of the hour. Bartolo Colon. He's getting a shot. The Rangers had cut him loose. We knew it was procedural, but they made it official. They brought him back. Even Noah Syndergaard, who came on in hour number one, knows how good this guy is. So I'll have that for you a little bit later on. What I also want to do, and I'm not promising I'll do this every single week, but I think at least for today, I want to get into what is that sound? Because I know that we're picking up new listeners. How do I know that? Because I've heard these calls. And they're calls that have never been on the program before. And I know because we have new real estate that we didn't have in the past. So there's some of you that have questions about certain things on the program. Like this guy. What's that sound? Hey, Jim. I've heard at Alvin DeLauro use the drop, a car.
A car.
What's that all about? A car. You know what that is? That's part of the Family Feud loser compilation.
During what month of pregnancy does a woman begin to look pregnant?
September.
Something a burglar would not want to see when he breaks into a house. Rob.
Naked grandma.
Naked, huh?
Name part of the telephone.
The bottom part.
Name an animal with three letters in its name.
Alligator.
Something Russia's famous for, Bob.
Russians.
Name something you might buy that could turn out to be phony.
A horse.
Apartment in a supermarket.
Lingerie.
Name something you wouldn't want the police to find in the trunk of your car.
Pickles.
Aside from a house or a car specifically, what is the most expensive thing you own? Wendy?
A car.
A car.
A car.
Specifically, I mean, the host couldn't have been any more clear on that. And he set it up so slowly, like, I know you're not that bright. So, aside from a house or a car, what is the most expensive thing you own? A car!
A car!
So that's where that came from. I could answer these very quickly and just keep going through them one at a time. I want to lay the whole thing out. Because one of the best parts about doing this show for as long as I have is we have thousands of sound bites, thousands of sound drops. And I'll get to that in a minute. Let's go to the phones. Take another shot. See, a good phone call will quickly make me forget about how horrible that last phone call was. You've got your topics. If there's something you want to talk about that I haven't brought up, just ask me. Or better yet, don't ask me. come at it with your own take, and we'll do that. Let's go to New York. Nate in New York. Nate, good to have you on. How are you?
How you doing, Jim?
Good, Nate. How about you? What's going on?
I'm doing well. The Giants, the situation with Odell Beckham, I know he's cancerous to the team. I know they got problems that they got a lot of holes they got to fill anyway. So there's a lot of issues that you actually got to go through. But what the Rams are going to have to pay for in order to actually get them is going to be...
Hey, Nate, let me ask you something. As a Giants fan, do you want the team to trade him, point blank? Do you want them to get him out of there?
He's bad for the team, even though he is their most talented player. But the Giants have all the holes that they got to fill, offensive line. They got no defense. They got no corners that can actually work. They can't do any man-on-man. But the Rams scheme, their team, it makes sense for a guy like Odell Beckham.
I agree with you, Nate. All right, so that's a Giants fan saying, look, we got so many problems. We've got so many holes. We've got so many problems. We've got a 37-year-old quarterback. Man, get him out of here. Get him out of here. Yeah, yes, he's our best player. Well, far and away, he's your best player. Far and away, he's your best player. But they've got so many holes, and he's a problem, and he says he will not take the field without a new contract. He makes sense to me with the Rams. If I'm Sean McVay, offensive guru, and I've got the quarterback that I have, and I've got the running back that I have, and now I've got a defense which I think can keep pace with my offense, and I won 11 games last year, and I won my division, and I've added what I've added defensively, and I already know what I have offensively, and I know what I have under center. Hell yes, I'm going to try and get this guy. That's not an easy guy to trade for. That's not an easy guy to sign, but if I'm Les Snead and I'm Sean McVay, I'm doing everything in my power to see whether or not I can get that deal done. And then the two issues are physically, where's Odell Beckham at? And then emotionally, of course, where is Odell Beckham at? He's going to come with some baggage now. I mean, this guy is the prototypical prima donna, diva, wide receiver, and arguably could go down as one of the greatest ever to do it. He's worth looking at. Can I tell you something? If they thought that Ndamukong Suh was worth the risk, if they thought Marcus Peters was worth the risk, if they thought Aqib Talib was worth the risk, don't you think they think that OBJ is worth the risk? Why wouldn't they? Oh, no, we're not going to touch that guy, but we'll bring those three guys in. He's worth the risk, and they should look at it. And even if they don't get him, they may still be the team to beat. No offense, Philadelphia. No offense, Minnesota. They might be the team to beat. And then you've got Seattle in the same division saying, oh, no, we're not rebuilding. We're just kind of resetting. Yeah, if I were the Seahawks, I would say the same thing. Trust me, they're rebuilding. You can't reset something if you drop a bomb on it. Well, they're rebuilding all right. And they should. And it's fine. I mean, who are you fooling with that? With this resetting business? Look at who you've lost. Look at who you've added. Look around the division. Look at what the Cardinals have done. Look at what the Niners have done. And most of all, look at what the Rams have done. And they won the division. So there's no reset going on, 12s. You should know that. When we come back, let's get into What's the Sound. I'll have that for you. And also, Bartolo Colon. Guy still playing. 44, 21 years in, and still playing. Which is great for Major League Baseball, with opening day right around the corner. Stay tuned. I mean, that call right there from New York, that guy might as well have been a smack-off participant compared to Tyler. Hell, compared to Tyler, that guy wins the smack-off from New York. Stay with it. We're coming right back.
A car.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Hey, do me a favor. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts. Better prices every day. A car.
A car.
If you have a car.
A car.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts.
A car.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts if you have a car.
A car.
Outside of your house and your car, specifically, what is the most expensive thing you own? A car.
A car.
Yeah, I don't think they were going to pick her for the fast money round. All right, so as I mentioned, one of the best things about doing this show, as long as I've done this show, is we've got a lot of history. I've got a ton of sound that I've compiled over the years. In fact, I said to Alvin, literally, ballpark this for me, how many archive pieces of audio do you think you have in that library? And his response was, dude, at least 100,000. It's a grip. It's a grip of audio. So on any given day, that audio can work its way into the show today, from back in the day to the present day. I mean, like, something from 20 years ago can get played on the show today. It happens all the time. And often it's not me bringing it up, but one of the clones, one of you listeners. But when that happens, not everybody knows where the sound comes from, or who said it, or what it means, or why they said it, or why we play it. Hell, I've got guys on my staff that don't know where 90% of this stuff came from. So as we add new listeners every single day through CBS Sports Network simulcast and Sirius XM satellite radio and our affiliates nationwide and in Canada, it got me thinking, there's probably a lot of people listening right now that do not know the backstory behind some of these random drops that they hear all the time. I mean, even a 5-year listener or a 10-year listener wouldn't know where every piece of sound comes from. So I thought about it this morning, and I thought that I would take to Twitter with that and say, hey, look, hit me up. Hit me up on Twitter with your request to have a piece of audio explained. And I'll even put a name on it. What's that sound? What's that sound? You know, so if you're interested in doing this, I can reset this going forward. If not, it's a one-off right now. But at the same token, by the same token, there was a lot of reaction to it this morning. A lot of you have a lot of questions about what this or that soundbite is. So let's check this out. Once again, hit me up on Twitter. If you didn't get your question answered or you're joining us late, just hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome and ask me to reset a bit of sound. Follow me at Jim Rome. Ask right there and I will do that. So of all the submissions I got today, I'm going to go with this one. And there were a lot of them, but at CaseyJack31, at CaseyJack31 tweets, Jim, I'm a longtime listener and know pretty much all of the drops, but I don't know the origin of This Is The Game, Doug. It's one of my favorites.
This is the game, Doug! Woo!
This is the game, Doug!
This is the game, Doug!
That's a good suggestion. A good first suggestion. Now, normally that drop is heard once a week, maybe right after the huge call. But if you don't know the origin, you probably have no idea who the hell that is, where it's from, and what it's about. First off, bit of clarification. The dude yelling is saying, "This is the game, Doug."
This is the game, Doug!
Not "This is the game, dog."
This is the game, Doug!
Doug, not dog. Let's get that straightened out. A lot of you think, hey, Rome, or ask, hey, Rome, what is that drop, "This Is the Game, Dog"? What's that from? It's Doug. Doug, not dog. Doug, not dog. Here's your backstory.
This is the game, Doug!
Doug. So the year is 2015. The guy yelling is Bernard English. Bernard lives in Philly. Bernard is at a sports bar. Philadelphia just beat the Saints 39-17. They improved to 2-3 on the season. The local NBC News affiliate sent out a field reporter named Doug Scheimel. And they want him to get some of that classic local news, man-on-the-street reaction. Because what the hell is the local news without some man-on-the-street reaction to the local team? So, Doug Scheimel rolls out there on assignment, maybe thinking that the 1-3 Eagles are going to lose, and there might be some fired-up fans looking for Chip Kelly's head. Especially Philly fan. Like, when things are going well in Philly, prior to them winning it all, when things were going well, it's great, it's an awesome place to be, but when things are not going well, we know Philly fan can go Philly fan. So, Philly local affiliate is going to go Philly local affiliate and look for a local Philly fan. However, Philadelphia just stomped the Saints. And Bernard English was there to tell all of Philly, never, ever count out the birds.
When Muhammad Ali was down, did you count him out? When Jiminy Cricket was down, did you count him out? This is the comeback, Doug. 2-3. Did you see DeMarco Murray? This is the game, Doug!
This guy's awesome. Now, of course, the most underrated part of that is the part that never gets played. Like when Muhammad Ali was out, Did you count him out?
When Muhammad Ali was down, did you count him out?
When he was down, did you count him out? More importantly, though, when Jiminy Cricket was down, did you count him out?
When Jiminy Cricket was down, did you count him out?
Hell no. No, you better kill Jiminy Cricket, or he's going to get up.
When Jiminy Cricket was down, did you count him out?
Jiminy Cricket? What the hell does Jiminy Cricket have to do with anything at all? Who the hell is Jiminy Cricket?
When Jiminy Cricket was down, did you count him out?
It's that grasshopper, right? From what? Pinocchio? Yeah, whoever, whatever. All I know is this, man. When that cricket was down, did you count him out?
When
of course not.
Jiminy Cricket was down, did you count him out?
So there you go, Casey. That's where that drop comes from. Now you know.
Did you see DeMarco Murray?
This is the game, Doug.
This is the game, Woo! Doug!
Love that guy. So that's where that drop came from. And there's a million more like it. Now you know. If you want me to explain a piece of audio from the show, look for me to tweet out a virtual suggestion box going forward. I don't know, once a week, whenever I'm feeling it. We used to have that jukebox on Fridays. Essentially, whenever I'm feeling it, like anything else. A bunch of you played along. A bunch of you did not. And what I mean by that is a bunch of you sent in tweets like this guy that were legitimate. And then a bunch of you morons tried to get me to reset the Toby call. Just stop doing that. That's not what this is. This is me being a solid dude, bringing a bunch of new people into the audio archives of this show. Save the Toby nonsense. This is about audio drops getting sourced, not about resetting a phone call that will never be reset ever again. And Benny and Wisco, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you, Benjamin. Nice try with your tweet. Quote, what's the story behind the woman singing hello, followed by a trumpeting elephant?
Hello.
Nice try, Ben.
I was wondering.
And by nice try, Ben, I mean you're a hell of a lot better than that, Ben. Come on, man. Come on. At least I thought you were. So once again, if you want to keep that thing going, man, be legit about it. Be legit, be responsible, and I might pull the curtain back once again in a week or so. I mean, why not? It's going to make you better. It's going to make you better understand the program. The program is not inside like you might think. It's just that I've done it for a long, long, long time. So things continually turn over and or they get reset. This is the game, Doug.
This is the game, Doug!
That's what that's from. Hope that helps. When we come back, I want to talk about Bartolo Colon. This is the game, Bart.
This is the game.
He's not done
Doug.
Yet. This guy's coming back for a 21st Major League season. And we're all better for it. Major League Baseball is better for it. That's coming up next segment. Phone lines are open right now. Let's finish strong. Parts of this show have been amazing. Parts of this show have been really weird. Let's end this thing strongly. Hit me up. Call me. Tweet at me. Email me. First up, though, here's a sports update for you. Rich Ackerman has got the very latest for you. Last segment, last chance to get through. AJ Cantrell tweets. You see, if it's a good tweet, I will read your tweet. Like AJ Cantrell, I'm reading this cat's tweet, and I'm reading it to a couple hundred radio stations, and I'm doing it on TV, and I'm doing it on satellite. This guy's getting a lot of run. Best tweets get read. If it's a real good tweet, I'll retweet it back to another 1.4 mil. Follow me on Twitter. It pays. I can help you build your brand. I might be able to help you get your own show. I've done this for a lot of guys. At AJ Cantrell. Honestly, I did count out Jiminy Cricket.
When Jiminy Cricket was down, did you count him out?
AJ did. Keep it up, AJ, man. Stay strong. About 500,000 more of those tweets, and you may get your own show. You got to start somewhere, though. At Salahandro tweets. I love the Muhammad Ali part of that sound. So funny. So good. Also, who's Muhammad Ali?
When Muhammad
Hawk.
Ali was down, did you count him out?
Just because Hawk did not know who Larry Holmes was when he called the program does not mean that he does not know Muhammad Ali.
What?
Just because when I asked him if he knew Johnny Unitas, He said, yeah, wasn't it that guy who tried to make out with that ESPN reporter? Does not mean that Hawk does not know who Muhammad Ali is.
I'm struggling.
You know, right? You do know, right, Hawk? Muhammad Ali? What was his name before he changed it to Muhammad Ali? Oh, Hawk! Walk off on that, Hawk. He got Cassius Clay. Who did Cassius Clay stand over after he knocked him out in a fight that may or may not have included a phantom punch? Oh, he's 2 for 2. Hawk. Hawk, good thing you saw that movie Ali, Hawk. Or you know you would be 0 for 2 right now. Good thing you go to the movies, Hawk. Too bad there wasn't a movie about Larry Holmes, Hawk. That's all right. You need something. I'll let you ride with that. All right, so big news. Big news. The mentions are going off, too. People are asking what other sound drops are and some other things about the show. I've always told you this. If there's anything you need to know about the show, hit us up on Twitter or just call Hawk directly. He's the answer man. He's here for you. So a lot of big news in the world of sports right now. The Final Four, which we've covered. The Rams signing Ndamukong Suh, which I spent the entire program on. The return of Markel Fultz, which I did not hit, but I wanted to hit. Maybe tomorrow. However, everything is bigger in Texas. And there is nothing bigger than the news that the Texas Rangers are bringing Sexy back. No, let me correct that. They're bringing Big Sexy back. Bartolo Colon has signed a minor league deal with the team, and he is on pace to start April 2nd against the Oakland A's. Hell to the yes.
Hell yes.
Let's go back a little bit and unpack this. Because the Rangers were righting a wrong that happened last week. On Friday, the team released Colon, but they did have the intention of re-signing him. But even though everybody knows that that was merely a procedural move and they were going to correct it quickly, the Rangers were wise to put that as a classic Friday news dump. You don't want your fans taking to the streets and burning jerseys when they see that the dream has died. But while it was a bad Friday, yesterday was a great Monday. Bart is back. All is right with the world. Not that anybody needs to lay out the case for keeping this guy, but Rangers GM John Daniels made it anyway. Quote, he's a veteran guy. You know what you're going to get. He's going to throw strikes. Keep guys off balance. End quote. Hey, John, I would never tell you how to do your job because you know how to do your job. But know this, Bart's going to do a hell of a lot more than that. Bart always does more than you need him to do. This is going to be his 21st Major League season. Rangers manager Jeff Banister knows what's up. He said, quote, I've seen him since 95. I've seen the progression from a guy who just blew hitters away to now. The ability to move the fastball around, change speeds. He gets hitters out by being as smart as he can. End quote. I mean, there are multiple guys in the Rangers camp, literally, who are younger than Bartolo's service years. He made his debut in Major League Baseball in 1997, before some of them made their debut on Earth. And no, I'm not going to do that hack thing of listing what was popular or cool in 1997. But I will point out that it seems very appropriate that Tub Thumping was a worldwide hit when Bart was in his rookie year. You know, because Bart gets knocked down, but he gets up again. You're never going to keep him down. You know, Bart, he gets knocked down, he gets up again. You're never going to keep him down. And don't even bother asking whether Bart has good stuff. Bart always has good stuff. I'm not even worried about that at all. I've already got bigger things in mind. For all the hype about Shohei Ohtani, Big Bart is the original two-way player. Who will ever forget where they were on May 7th, 2016, when Bartolo Colon came to the plate with one on, two out in the top of the second in San Diego?
Malone looking for his first hit of the year.
Oh. He drives one deep left field. That goes Upton back near the wall. It's out of here. Bartolo has done it. The impossible has happened. The team vacates the dugout as Bartolo takes the long trot, his first career home run, and there will be nobody in the dugout to greet him.
Hey, Alvin, I know that you don't remember where you were. You don't even know where you are right now, Alvin.
Dude, get off my back, man. So it took 10 seconds to fire that sound. Who cares, man? You make it sound like it was 10 years. Yeah, well, it felt like 10 years, Alvin. Come on, man.
Let's play some basketball!
Let's play some basketball, Alvin. Anyway, I remember like that was yesterday. On the mound, James Shields, an all-star, a man who finished third in Cy Young voting. He had 9 straight seasons with double-digit wins. Big Bart digs in the batter's box, and then this happened.
Malone looking for his first hit of the year.
Oh. He drives one deep left field. That goes Upton back near the wall. It's out of here. Bartolo has done it. The impossible has happened. The team vacates the dugout as Bartolo takes the long trot.
Albie, now you're just messing with me. Why are you doing that, dude?
What's that?
In other words, what I'm saying is, the only thing better than Bartolo Colon pitching for the Rangers against the A's on April 2nd would be Bartolo Colon hitting for the Rangers against the A's on April 2nd. Let's make that happen. I'm not going to say that Bartolo Colon is the best thing about baseball, but Bartolo Colon really is the best thing about baseball. I mean, forget all the tweaks about mound visits, pace of play. If you want to keep the young fans engaged, you keep Big Bart on a roster. Fact. That's how you get the millennials to stay engaged. Keep this guy in the game.
This is the game, Doug!
Bart! Woo! This is the game, Alvy!
This is the game, Doug! Woo!
Yeah, dude.
What a day. Great day for everybody. All right, then, let's go to the phones. Man, I'm so pumped that Bart's coming back. Noah Syndergaard was talking about him in hour number one and what he was like as a teammate and the respect that he had for him. Let's go to Maine. Christian in Maine. I don't know exactly what this guy's going to talk about, but I've got a feeling he's got some beef. Must have some beef. Let's find out. Christian, you're up. What's up? How are you?
Hey, Jim Rome.
Hey, Christian in Maine.
I know getting through on the vine is a man's game, so I don't want to let you down, brother. All right?
You got it.
So, listen, we're 2 days from opening day, right? And I just want to say, thank God that spring blooms eternal, and I want a war, not having to listen to Rick from Buffalo hyperventilating, sounding like he's taking wings right out of the deep fryer and eating them straight from the hot pockets with a pacemaker and a tinfoil mask standing too close to the microwave, and I'm going to give a sermon to you, Bill, right now, saying, oh.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
Hey, Christian, I got to be honest with you. What I would give to have Rick in Buffalo call this program right now. What I would give to have that guy call. At least I know he'll get through his call. You accuse that guy of hyperventilating, and you make that call? Hey, Pot. Hey, Kettle. Dude. Can I say this has been one of the worst call days we've had in a while? And on this show, that's saying quite a bit. That is not a good call day. I mean, like, I don't want to bite the hand that feeds, but hey, listen, this has not been a good call day. Let me ask you this. Has it been a good interview day? It certainly has. Noah Syndergaard, he'd never been on before. Porter Moser, one of the best ever. Bill Self, right before the Final Four. So, it has been a good interview day. Has it been a good host day? I mean, I've had better days, but I've had worse days. Yeah, I'd say I did my job. Has it been a good day for the XR4TI? Not bad. About the same as me. They've had better days. They've had worse days. Now ask yourself, callers, has it been a good call day? Definitely not. When Matt in LA is the best call of the day, that should tell you all you need to know about the calls. Hey, Rome, we thought Bartolo Colon was done pitching too. We haven't seen his face in over 15 years. Yours, Bartolo Colon's feet. Signed Dan in Pittsburgh. War updates on Lauren in Naples. I really don't know what the update is. I know that she went to the yacht club. I know she had mojitos at the yacht club. And I think that she is not called today. There's your update. Hawk says she did call yesterday. This email is, and try and follow along. It's very short, but it's very tricky. Try to follow this. I'm going to read it as it's written. A car.
A car.
In my kitchen. Signed, Billy's neighbor.
Is a friend of mine. He gets me my drinks.
Let me run that back one more time for you. This email says, I'm going to read it verbatim. A car.
A car.
In my kitchen. Signed, Billy's
now
neighbor.
John at the bar is a friend of mine.
I don't know.
He gets me my drinks.
DUIs, drunk driving. Pretty abhorrent behavior. That's not really something to make a joke about.
But there's some place that he'd rather.
One more time. A car.
A car.
In my kitchen. Signed, Billy's neighbor. Billy's Billy Joel. Where Alvy would not be playing that song. Billy Joel jumped a curb and drove into somebody's house.
And he's quick with a joke or to light up your smoke.
I mean, we've all hit a curb, right? We all have trouble parallel parking. This cat allegedly jumped a curb. Not just jumped the curb, but drove into a house. Hence the email, a car.
A car.
In my kitchen. Son, Billy's neighbor. Yeah, I get it, Alvy. Thanks. Stephen PHX. Good news, bad news. Bad news is, this has not been one of our better efforts overall. And since I'm the guy sitting here, I got to own that. Good news is we go back to zero. We start over. We get another opportunity tomorrow. My favorite thing about hosting this show, no matter how good or bad the show is, we always go back to zero. We start over every single day. Not the best thing when you do a great show, because then you got to do it again the next day. But it is the best thing when the day doesn't go the way you thought it would. Well, check it. My day is great. It's the calls that are not going the way that they should. But we get to do it again tomorrow. We'll start over and do it again tomorrow. Hey, Alvin, do we have a huge call today? Bet we don't. Huge call brought to you by Castrol Edge. If you want maximum performance from your car, you could use an Edge. Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology, 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown as tested in the Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 Viz grade for your car.
I've always been like that, but I tell you, your journey, there's times that challenge you. You know, my whole situation in Illinois State, you know, it there's times it knocks you down. I mean, I'm not going to lie in it, but what the thing, if you keep grinding, is adversity doesn't have to define you. You know, that whole situation didn't define me. I reinvented myself, and that's why I like talking to coaches. You know, I always try to call guys that have been let go, and because the next step of competitiveness, you're competitive in sports, is the reinvention can be another set of another area of competitiveness, of energy to reinvent yourself, and that's what I had to do. But I tell you, I went through a tough time, grieving and part of adversity. That happens. That's normal. But what you got to do is fight back and not let it define you, and you can get better from it. And I'm better for what I went through. I wouldn't be standing here if that whole brutal adversity didn't happen to me in the profession, because it led me to Coach Majerus, which led me to Loyola.
Hi, good show, dude.
Porter, freaking Moser, Loyola Chicago head coach. Castrol Edge, it helps fight friction and delivers outstanding levels of performance. Castrol Edge, the titanium strong motor oil. My thanks to Porter Moser, Bill Self, Noah Syndergaard, my crew, you clones. See you tomorrow. Hit the reset button. Let's do it again. See you then.